Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, worship team. Let me get into my message this morning. And it's entitled, Love Covers All. Love covers all. I've been carrying this one all weekend, and it's going to be part one and part two, because I could not figure out where to go with it for the fullness of the message, so I split it in two. Next week, you will hear part two. Folks, people are drawn to the power of God. And regardless of who they are, regardless of where they are, because of God's love, people are drawn to the power of God. But there are two forces in this world, hatred and love. And the force that's ruling our earth today is what? What's the force ruling our earth? Hatred. Hatred. If you look at all that's happening, hatred, hatred, hatred. And it says in Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. Folks, there are many people, even in the kingdom of God, living with offenses. So many offenses. Love covers over offenses. And when we as the children of God begin to demonstrate, just like a Corrie ten Boom, how love can cover offenses, everything changes in the atmosphere. And so it tells us in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, most important of all, Peter is saying to us, the most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And he didn't say, just say, have love, I love you. He says, have deep love. Do you know when you have deep love, you don't have to like everyone, but as Christians, because of the love of God for us, we have to love everyone. Be honest, folks, I don't like everybody. There are people that can get on your nerves, and there are people who can get on your last nerve. Do you know anybody who, some people got on your nerve? Let me just see. Yes? Is there anyone that gets on your very, very last nerve? Yes? It's real. It's an emotion, because we're all made differently. But we still have to find a way to love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't mean we have to accept the sin, but it means that we recognize they're being driven by sin, so we hate the sin and let the person be the one that we still extend the love of God to. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. We're now going through the book of Matthew. We've been going through it. We're at Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." Now, this is a powerful missions message, but that's not where I'm going fully today. See, Matthew continues to show us what Jesus did when he was here on earth, to demonstrate to everyone the love of God our Father. God is love. Jesus is love, and the Holy Spirit teaches us how to accept love. And it says Jesus, being love, he traveled everywhere doing the will of God. And as he did that, that was to demonstrate to us, that's what's expected of us today. He demonstrated that wherever we are on earth, we are to carry the love of God and fulfill the will of God. So Jesus literally went everywhere. He went to the cities and the suburbs. He went to the deep north, as well as the deep south portions of the region. And we've seen from Matthew 1 to now these chapters that we're in, he went into every type of place, the mountainside, the city center, the seashore, on rivers, he went by boat, in homes, in synagogues, and there's absolutely no place that Jesus would not go to minister. There's absolutely no place that we should avoid ministering about the kingdom of God. Wherever we are, people should hear. And if they can't listen, people are not listening to our words. They should see the love of God in us. They should see the love of God in us. And that should translate into everything we do, even the little things we do in business. So Matthew continues and he says, Jesus had compassion when he saw harassed and helpless. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I have a question. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, go everywhere? Why did he go everywhere? Because see, folks, it was to demonstrate to us that wherever we are, someone is there who is ready. Can I repeat that? Wherever we are, someone is there who is ready. And you never know who it is, and you never know when it will be. I can't tell you the time or the season, but there are obscure places you will be and someone is ready. Whenever we have opportunity to encounter someone, we need to respond with the love of God and the touch of God for a miracle. I'll share with you, when I was ministering in Colombia recently, we were all in the hotel and all of the guest speakers, it was 76 countries represented, and we were all staying at the same hotel, so we all kind of got to know each other as speakers. And in the dining room, I was traveling with someone, Pastor Anna, and in the dining room I saw a gentleman having breakfast by himself, but all the other tables were full with all of us ministers. And I said, you know, Pastor Anna, I can't go and sit with him, which I go and sit with strangers all the time. I can't do it because he'll think I'm hitting on him. I mean, we're traveling, we're in a hotel, you know, and, you know, I ain't bad looking, you know. So I was like, neither was he. So I thought, I said, we both have to go over and invite him together. So we went over and I said, you're eating by yourself. Would you like to join us? He said, sure. So he joined us. We got into conversation. He was on a work plan he's living in Dubai. He's African born, but living in Dubai. And a long conversation. He isn't about God and all of that, but he's also close friends to the president of a country in Africa. I won't call the country, but he's very close friends and he works in parliament with him. And I'm like, really? I said, is he serving God? He said, no. I said, so neither of you serving God, but you're ruling a country. I said, how's that going to work for you? And he goes, well, that's a little harsh. I said, no, it's not harsh. God told me to come and sit and have breakfast with you just to tell you, if your friend, the president of that country, rules like the sun, God will help him rule that nation. He goes, that's a good saying. Can you give me that? So he wrote it down on his phone. And then I gave him my email. He emailed me the other day. He said, can you give me another verse to go with that? Folks, I don't know how that's going to translate in that country. And in fact, I'll tell you why I'm not calling the country. He called and asked, would you speak to the president? I said, no, because too many pastors clamor to presidents and then they become political. I cannot be political. So I said, I'll send a message through you, but I will not have a conversation. So there's a president that's asking for God. But he's not asking in his own country because he doesn't want them to know. So he's asking through a friend to ask somebody from another country. You don't know where God is putting you and how God is aligning it, folks. So here's the thing. Jesus went everywhere. And every place he went, he looked for an opportunity. Not to take the Bible and thump it, but just to be real. Just to be real. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, go everywhere? So he could touch everyone everywhere with a miracle power, or with the miracle power of God, or with a word from God, or just with the joy of knowing that they are loved by God. That's how Jesus wants from us. And how did Jesus serve people that were far away from God? Because you see, there are people that are far away from God. Doesn't make them hideous. It just means they need to know who the Master is. So he preached. We've talked through it in Matthew. He preached the good news about the kingdom of God, much like I'm doing here. But there are times he just sat down and taught. He taught the Nicodemus. He taught the Zacchaeus. He just did the one-on-one. And there are times when we just need to do the one-on-one and let somebody be grounded in the word that we're grounded in, because people are trying to find answers and we have been so stuck in religion that we think we've got to throw the Bible at them, script how the Bible should be, and all of that. I want you to know, folks, we have brought a lot of things into church that were never of God. I don't have time today to go off because I'm a bit late in the message, but how many people grew up where pants was a sin? Pants. Lucy? Such a sinner you are. Sinner woman, sitting in the church in your pants and your cute boots. That's how it was preached then. When did the Bible change? Did the Word of God change? So what changed? Culture. And so there are times we've taken some culture things and we've put it into the Word, and it's not from the Word of God. We have to be free with each other. And in fact, next Sunday is Jean Sunday, by the way. Spread the word. It's Jean Sunday. Find your best jeans. He healed. He healed emotions. He healed physical. He healed mental. He healed everything. He didn't shy from some things. Oh, I don't want to pray for this one. She has mental illness. Pray for everyone. Don't just, oh, this one's going to the hospital. I'll pray. But this one's going through a mental struggle. I won't pray. Pray for everyone, because that's what Jesus did. And he delivered. He delivered people from their bondage. This world has gone crazy. Folks, when I hear of somebody driving into a daycare, every week we're sharing one of these atrocities. People are sick in their minds, and they've gone into the crazy realm. Many were crazy before, but after COVID, there's a level of crazy we ain't never seen in the face of the earth, except back in the Roman days. Can I hear? And you've got to get up every day and go, please, God, don't let me go crazy. There's a level of crazy since COVID, and people are going to continue to go crazy. It's not time for us who know the Word of God and the power of God and the love of God to shy away from people. It's time for them to see, oh, I don't have it all together, but somebody's got me all together. Glory. So, folks, everywhere, wherever, every opportunity, everything, preach, teach, heal, deliver, Jesus did it. And how did he do it? He did it by touching the one and the one and the one. I'm going to put a plug in here, not just for in-house here, but for online small groups. Every church must have small home groups where people learn the Word of God and break it down together. I cannot, in 30 minutes with this microphone, give you the fullness of the Word and let it minister to every from ages, 11 to, 111. It's impossible. It's breaking it down by sitting together, the body ministering to the body. And so Jesus proclaimed the Word, but how do you get prophetic direction and Holy Spirit breaking the bread of life into hearts and all of that? Public expression of worship is not all that Jesus did. He saw the crowds helpless and harassed. And when we sit down and begin to break the bread of life, we walk out, and we walk out into a world. We begin to know how to speak it, how to live it, how to demonstrate it to others, because we have done it for ourselves. It's not just let me hear what the pastor has to say. It's let me hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Can I hear a louder amen on that one? We need, that's what I'm talking about. For those online, I think it's like a two-year-old baby that just yelled out, one-year-old baby. Well, two. It sounded like a two-year-old in the back yelled out, amen. When the people couldn't say an amen, the baby, oh, Holy Ghost. Jesus, his compassion for others. See, compassion and love walk hand in hand. Compassion and love walk hand in hand. Without love, compassion is not genuine towards others. Without compassion, love is not properly demonstrated to those who are hurting. Compassion is understanding, caring, and being concerned for the misfortunes of others. So when we want to show compassion, we have to have it with love. Compassion and love. Anything else is pity. And you can't pity the world and expect them to come to Jesus. We've got to have compassion for where people are at. People are harassed and distressed. The cares of the world are weighing them down. And when you see some people that are super stressed, you've just got to step out of their way. Folks, in the supermarket, in the drugstore, what I love doing, I love coming after someone who has just harassed a clerk, a store clerk. I love when I'm in line and that person has just harassed a store clerk. Because you know what that is? That's God's best moment for you. I usually go up and go, how's your day going? A little stressful. I answer the question. I ask it, then I answer. Because they don't know what to say. And I say, how's your day going? And they'll look at me and I go, it's very stressful, isn't it? How long have you been working? And they'll say, the hours. I say, what time do you get off? And they'll say, oh, 3 more hours? God's going to give you strength to make it through that. You just ignore people who are like that because they're just stressed, but you're doing a great job. Do you know what that does? Changes everything. Come on, folks. It's easy to do. But pity means I just look at them and go, oh, it's too bad that they're going through that. Sad, sad. Compassion says, I'm going to fix it so that their world is turned upside down and their joy is restored. Folks, people are being weighed down, and even the wealthiest person is in distress. Money has become, the God of Mammon has become the source for many people, but the God of Mammon can't heal or deliver or set free. And the God of Mammon can't help the wealthiest person find peace. Peace is found in Jesus Christ. So I want you to know, God's love for all creation demands our response. What is our response? Focus. Focus, focus. Read that for me. Okay, on three, let's do it again now that your shyness is gone. I'll just say focus. You know why? Because when you say it, you hear it. Now, on three, let's do it again, even online. Focus on. Doesn't that resonate back in your mind? We need to focus on them. Let them know the kingdom of God is at hand. Let them know the master of the kingdom is still alive. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Demonstrate the love of God to them. Tell them the stories of how God has taken you through some sad moments. If we want to help a hurting, harassed world, we can only help them by what we demonstrate and not by what we say only. Touch people who want to see if life can be better than just hurtful. And that's what's going to make the difference. The church has got to be a place where they see, I want to come and be amongst you happy people. It's so good to see how this place is worshiping. Do you know what? Who wouldn't want to come into a place that is so vibrant in worship? That's what we're about. But it's not because of the worship leaders. It's because you're starting to come up and you're coming with a praise in your heart. And that praise is echoing in the house. And as it echoes in the house, the joy of the Lord is just moving from vessel to vessel. The one who came in broken is feeling lifted. And that's what we want as people come from time to time. Part two of the message is getting even better. See where I can go. Folks, let me hasten. Matthew 10, verse 5 to 15. Jesus sent out 12 apostles next week for our Fun Day Sunday. It's called Fun Day Sunday. So it's F-U-N Day Sunday, okay? For Fun Day Sunday, I'm going to just touch on Matthew chapter 10, and I'll just do a little part of it here. Jesus sent out 12 with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but go to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you've received. Don't take any money in your money belt, no gold, no silver, no copper. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter a city, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave the town. When you enter their home, give it a blessing. Give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it's not, take back your blessing. I wish I could preach that one for you. If any household or town, I take back my blessing. If any household or town refuse to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust off your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. That's a whole message. I'll bring that another time. What I want to pull out of this text today, which will line up for today, it really lines up for today. Love causes every believer to focus on God's lost sheep. That's what love does. We stop thinking only about ourselves and we begin to focus on God's lost sheep. We go to those who are lost. Jesus in this text, when he was declaring to the disciples, he says, go, Take 12 of you, I'm sending you out. And I want you to announce the kingdom of heaven is near. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to bind up the broken heart with mental, emotional, all of that you just read. He says, but here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to go to Samaria right away. I don't want you to go to the uttermost parts right away. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. You know what Jesus was saying? I want you to start with home base. The Great Commission is going to all the world, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. But Jesus, immediately when he gave them this part, he said, don't go right away to Samaria, because some people are happy to go to people they don't know. How many people know family members who they're so wonderful with other people but never with their own family? Anybody know anyone like that? And you're wondering, how could other people say they're so wonderful? You're like, how can I not see that side? Because there are people who, they're not doing it out of love. They're doing it out of pride. They want others to see them as a savior, but they're not being a savior in their own home or amongst their family or their friends or coworkers that they are. And that's a false identity. That's someone who doesn't even know who they are. Because when you know who you are, you start at home base. Talk to me, somebody. It shows up at home base. And so I want you to know, when we see the lostness of people, we should also see the lostness of people around us. My heart is burdened that 28,000 people died instantly in Turkey and Syria, and we should have been sending more people, that many more would be saved. But there are millions right here in Canada, and we're ignoring the fact that they need to be saved, and then we'll have a larger army of people going into the uttermost parts of the earth. Take care of home base. And Jesus was saying to them, love is imperfect and love hurts. But we as humans still need to pray for people to be healed, touch those who are ostracized, seek after people that they're in spiritual apathy, that they would know the love of God will bring them into peace of mind, and fight for those who are gripped by bondages. So here's the folks. Here's why I wanted to make sure I get this part of the message to you today. Take care of home base. Today, there's the big game playing, which we all talking about, right? How many people are not even online? How many of you could text it online or write chat, go in the chat line? How many people, if in the chat line you could say, I'm a fan of this team, or I'm not a fan at all? In-house, how many people are not at all into football? Okay, hands down. How many people, you're going to do something because it's a buzz and the whole world is in it, and so I'm going in too. Let me see your hands. Come on. How many are going in because, come on, put it up high. Don't be shy. I saw that half hand, Sharon. Okay. See, when there's a buzz on, okay, let me ask another question. How many people were excited when the Raptors were playing for the championship? How many were? Okay. Hands down. The whole church online, the whole church had their hand up, just about. A good 90%. How many people were Raptors fans before? Okay. So not all the same hands. How many people have been to a Raptors game since? Oh, shame. Shame, shame, and disgrace. The Raptors should pay me for this commercial. I'm trying to point out, do you know why? When the Raptors here in Canada, in Toronto, were playing, it was a home base score. It reflected on all of us. We got caught up in it because it was our boys, because it is our city, because it is our province, it is our Canada, it's our pride. So folks, in the same way, we need to remember that Christ is calling us. When we take care of home base, we have a sense of pride that translates to everyone around. Right now in Philadelphia, do you think people are sitting around idly? Philly's coming together going, let's get the buzz in the air because we have got to win. But what's happening in Kansas City? Kansas City is lined up wall to wall. Folks, when we love love something and when we believe in something, we come together in droves and we take on the city with a fervor that said, this is what is important. Oh, that we would get to the place of doing that for the kingdom of God, that our love would show by our actions, that people would feel the fervor of wanting to be a part of the kingdom of God. The power of God is granted to the church to confirm then and demonstrate now that God still loves. He still loves the world. He still loves the communities. And he still loves us right here. So folks, love covers a multitude of sins. So here's my cry to you. Love reminds us of what is important. Love heals. Love restores. Love helps. And love delivers. Jamie, I think I had that backwards. I just flipped back. But love heals. Love restores. Love helps. Love delivers. Let me leave that on the screen for a moment because you need, we have this nostalgia about love. Love heals. Love restores. Love helps. And love delivers. That's why Jesus says in verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure the leprosy, cast out the demons. As freely as you've received, give the love that you've received. This is not just a money passage. This is used also for as freely as you receive the finances, give unto the Lord. But as freely as you've received God's love, give God's love to others. Show God love to others. And so folks, this is it. Let your love show itself in the actions you do. And in the encouraging words you share with others, especially those who are close to you. Can I emphasize that? Especially those that are close to you. Do you know who we hurt most? Who do we hurt the most? We hurt the ones we love and we're like, they should take it. They should accept it. Is that real? Is that right? It's real, but it's not right. We don't always, they say hurting puppies bite. And sometimes we bite the ones beside us because we don't want to tell the one that's away from us or the one that's distant how we feel. But we're to also bring healing to each. And we're to understand that sometimes when people are hurting, they don't realize their actions. I'm guilty of it too. We're all guilty. I don't preach to you what I don't work through in my own life. We're all guilty. Bible says love makes up for all offenses. Could you just let some offenses roll off today? Because you're going to take care of home base. But I love these verses. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, most important of all, continue. You know what he's saying? Continue. He's not charging you that you didn't love, but he's saying continue to show love deeply for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. I shared yesterday, we had a board day and I was sharing with them, I love gifts. I'm a person that loves gifts. But I don't like just getting gifts like that. Because I have to know that you love me. And then I wonder if I'm a hoarder. I'll keep cards. I'll keep gifts. I sometimes won't even open something because I'm so blessed. I like looking at it and saying, this person really loved me. They gave me. Anybody like that? Like, I just want to see that. Because it's deep. You can tell when love is deep. I don't like trite love. And I have to explain to the church. That's why until I know that you really love me, I have a hard time. Because I'd rather you bless somebody you love. Until you get to love me. But love should show itself in action. That's the first part of the verse. But the second part is deeper. It says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's in the NIV. Let me read the NLT. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another well. See, I could read 1 Corinthians. Love is patient, love is kind. We did it in the beginning of the service. But you know what we've lost? We were diminishing in it before COVID. But the bigger the homes, the less we use it to bless others. That's why people will have a home of 20 bedrooms and invite no one. That's the big Hollywood style one. I mean, when was the last time they invited people to stay in the other 19 bedrooms? Because they're protecting themselves. And we, without being Hollywood people, have become so self-protective that we don't invite people in. And see, Jesus' ministry was sitting with others. Today, in bars all across Kansas City, all across Philadelphia, all over Toronto, people are going to huddle in little bars all up against each other. There's no COVID in a bar. And there, Jadel, they're going to be like this, watching the screen. And if their team scores, Jadel, you're going to have to, I'm picking on you today. If their team scores, what are they going to do? Do they know each other? Do they care? Why? Because they're excited about what they believe in. If we're excited about what we believe in, why is it that we don't look around and say, would you like to come for a meal? So the Bible says here, share your home with those who have need, or offer hospitality without grumbling. Another version in King James says, practice. It means you're not good at it, so practice it. Practice hospitality. Oh, but I didn't clean up. Well, run home and shove some things under the bed, put some in the closet, put the dishes inside the dishwasher, and order Swiss Chalet. Oh, but I'm not a good cook. There's not a person in North America that needs excessive amount of food. And definitely, oh, I don't bake. They don't need another bake. Buy some fruits. Because we all got fat to live on while others are starving. But when he says practice hospitality, and then here he says receive hospitality, the church is going to be the kingdom of God when we begin to open up to each other and not let COVID cause us to have greater fear than what we had before. Folks, Jesus had compassion. Do you know how you're going to know what's going on in people's lives? It's if you could sit together and then over a meal, they'll say, you know, I'm struggling with my kids and I can't tell anybody. I walk into church every Sunday. Who do I tell? And then they could just sit there and just say, hey, I've been there. I nearly killed mine, but then finally I made it till when they got to university. And now they're coming out on the other side. My nephew looked at his little 7-year-old son the other day. And he told him something. And then he called his mom, my sister, and he goes, oh my God, I have become you. I just said to my son exactly what you said to me. Do you know, folks, that we're going through seasons where everybody's hurting and we're carrying all these loads of pain and we can't trust anyone, not even in the kingdom. And the thing is, folks, it says practice hospitality, but this passage says receive hospitality. Someone's inviting you. If I ever invite you to my house and you're going to tell me, you know, I got a little puppy now and she's got stuff all over the house and I run a very 24/7 always doing church stuff life. So sometimes the puppy's blanket toys are all there. If I invite you over and you go, oh, pastor's house, there's dog stuff all over. There's no poop. I cleaned that up because I'm very fixed that way. I'm fixated. But then, oh, pastor, that's your first and last visit in Jesus' name. Because we're too caught up in the pristine. and we've forgotten the people. And it's the same for all of you. We're all living in blessed places. When you walk in, bring your blessing with you. If you're not treated well, then take your blessing back. The Bible says it. I got to stop. Take your blessing and go home. Wish I could explain that passage. I'll do it another time. Jen, the world is hurting. Communities are hurting. Church is hurting. People are hurting. On this Valentine's week, there are more hurting people than there are happy people. On this happy day for the Chiefs and the Eagles, there's more people who wish they could go sit and have a chicken wing with somebody rather than sit in their home wondering how happy everyone else is. So would you look around before you go? And don't invite me. I'm not saying yes. I have enough. Would you look around today and invite someone? Take a chance. Take a risk. And if that person ever gossips about you, then you pray one prayer. Lord, according to Psalm, cause their tongue to cleave to the roof of their mouth. It's real. It's a real prayer. Did you know it's real? And then you move on. Look around. And if they need to share while they're there with you, and you're like, I don't know how to pray, then don't pray. Just say, hon, he's got this. Just say that. Father, burn like a fire in us. That as that fire is burning brightly, we will shout Jesus wherever we are. Wherever you plant us, we will shout Jesus in our action. We will show Jesus by our deeds. And today, oh God, cause us to think of each other and to learn to be hospitable one to another, that we will demonstrate what the kingdom of God is like, so that those who are helpless and harassed will know there is a place where love is demonstrated because they really know the love of God. Bless your people today to do so in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.